Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, welcome. You guys having a good weekend so far?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. As you can see, I have hair, which means that I'm not Pastor Greg. Yeah, that was a really bad joke, and he's not even here to defend himself. Yeah, how terrible of me, right? I'm just kidding. I'm really excited to be here this morning, and I'm excited about this message. This was actually one of the first sermons that I wrote for Velocity whenever I first came here as a youth pastor. And so if you were here back then, which I see Gracie and Joe and Lauren, and I think Addison, you were here that particular week, but this is one of the first ones that I wrote, and I'm just going to give a really quick VSM plug. I know that there's some students, especially if you're watching online, parents, if you are watching online and you have a teenager, at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, we have Velocity. We've been back for a couple of months, and it is a whole lot of fun. And then on the second and fourth Sundays of each month, from 5:30 until about 8, we will have life groups. So this happens to be a fourth Sunday of the month, which means that today there's life groups. So come join us for some life groups. We're going to have some pizza, have some fun, have some discussion. It's going to be awesome. And then this coming Saturday, for all of you students, we were going to go to Pinnacle Mountain from 10 to 5. We're actually changing it, changing locations to Blanchard Springs, which is like up in the Mountain View area. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Bring a mask because we will have to drive there and have a mask on while we drive. But it's $5 this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're also changing the time for that location. But I'm really, 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 really ultra especially excited about that and excited about what's happening in our youth group. But today, we're going to have some fun. You guys ready to have some fun? Yeah, so part of the message, there's going to be some interaction that you're going to have. And so you can choose for that interaction to just be within the group, or you can mask up and get up, and which is what I'm going to encourage, and you can have this fun with other people that are in sections next to you. But one thing that I firmly believe about us, about our church, is that our church, our community, we need some more love in it. This COVID has kept us apart. This COVID has kept us distance. And I feel like one thing that's missing, and it's not necessarily that it's missing super bad in our church, but the connection with the church and the community, I feel like is something that we need to work on. And I firmly believe that God is all about love. You agree with that? God is all about love. In fact, Scripture says God is love. And you can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and not understand the love that God has for you. And maybe you're new to the whole Christian thing, and maybe you've recently discovered this love that God has for you. Well, there's something awesome for you, and it's called Fresh Start. It starts next Sunday at 9 a.m. on that side of the building upstairs in the couch room. There's a 3-week course. It's all about if you are a new follower of Jesus Christ, if you're recently discovering the love that He has for you, check out Fresh Start. It's awesome. If you're interested in Fresh Start, that dude over there, Travis, go see him, or Kelly, you can come see her, or just write on your Connect card that you are interested in Fresh Start and put it in that drop box in the back, and they'll contact you and give you all the details. But today, we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 22, so grab your Bibles or go to your Bible app, or if you're online, yeah, do the same thing. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to verse 34. And it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. And that question is, Jesus, or teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And there's something interesting that he's done here. He's asked a question to try to trap Jesus. And when Rochelle and I, when we were on the mission field, I can't tell you how many times we would have dinner with like some Somalis, or we would be out at a restaurant with some Muslim buddies of ours, and we're just having some relationship, having some dinner, and there would be an imam or a Muslim leader would walk up to our table and literally start asking questions to try to trip us up. And their purpose in asking these questions wasn't necessarily to learn something new. The purpose of the questions that they were asking was simply to prove that the Bible is false and that our religion is false. And so they'd, ask loaded questions about hooved animals in the Old Testament, eating them is considered unclean. Yet here we are in the market eating camel and goat, which are hooved animals. And so they're asking how in the world can you do this and still call yourself a believer or still call yourself a Christian? And so then we had to explain covenants. And then really it was just them trying to create controversy and them trying to break down what it is that the Bible says and prove that the Bible is a lie, which it's obviously not. But when you're there with Muslims, you've got to defend that faith and you've got to explain it. And for us, sometimes it was in a different language, which made it a little bit hard. But this is kind of what I imagine was happening. Jesus is with a group of people, and you've got these religious folks who may believe something different, trying to ask Jesus a question to prove that he is not the Messiah, that he doesn't know what it is that he's talking about, and then whatever it is that he's believing and preaching is false. And so he asked the question, which is the most important commandment and the law of Moses, and we all know there's 10, which is where the tripping up comes into play. And Jesus' reply was, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two things. So first, Jesus says, most important, love God, right? Most important, love God. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, how many of you guys think that it's possible to do that by accident? Can you love the Lord your God accidentally? Can you just wake up in the morning and be like, oh, I'm just going to, live my daily life and God's going to just know that I love him? The loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, this is the first and greatest commandment. And it says, I guess if you look at the first four commandments out of all of those 10, all of those deal with man's relationship with God. And so, yeah, he's saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is first and foremost. So how are some ways that we can accidentally love God? Loaded question. It's a trick question there. Yeah, in case you, it's fine. So ways that we can intentionally show love to God. That's what we're going to look at here. First, praise and worship. Can you accidentally praise and give worship to God? Or is that an intentional thing that you do? Second, you give him time. Time in prayer, time in the word. Can you accidentally give God your time? No, that's an intentional thing that you do. You intentionally decide, okay, I'm going to spend this amount of time with God. I'm going to intentionally open my word and start reading the scripture and spend time in prayer. That is a decision that you make. That's not something you accidentally fall into. Serving him. That's another way that we show God love. Can you accidentally serve God? Can you accidentally get involved in ministry? Can you accidentally see someone in need and help them meet that need? No. That's an intentional thing. That's you being purposeful and looking with intent and saying, all right, I see a need. I'm going to meet this need. Obedience to God. Can you accidentally be obedient to God if he asks you to do something? No. That is an intentional decision that I'm going to listen to the voice of God, and when he asks me to do something, I'm going to do it. That's intentional. Giving. Another way that we show love to God, by giving to him. Yes, God blesses us with all this amazing stuff, and yeah, there's an aspect of giving that is purely based on obedience to him, but then there's giving that is above and beyond that obedience. that giving, that generosity that's above and beyond that obedience isn't something that accidentally happens. It's an intentional decision that we make to give. And so when it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, this isn't something that we accidentally do. We don't just trip and stumble and fall into loving God. We make a decision that each and every single day we are going to give him love. But then it says, a second is equally important. Love your family and close friends as much as you love yourself. Is that what that says? It says, love those who believe the same thing you do and do as much as you love yourself. Sorry, I had a hard time reading that. So love others who believe the same thing you do and love them as much as you love yourself. Is that what the Bible says? All right, how about love those who go to the same church as you, love them as much as you love yourself. Is that what the Bible says? It says love your neighbor as yourself, and that is equally important. So first, most important, love God, but also most important, love others. The loving the others should be equal to the amount that we love God. These last six commandments that we look at, they're all about man's relationship with man. So first four of the Ten Commandments, man's relationship with God. Last six, man's relationship with man. And it doesn't matter what color their skin is, what political party they're a part of, what their spiritual beliefs are, what their financial status is, what part of the or what side of the railroad tracks they live on. Our core value as a church is that people matter to God. And so for us, it's so important that we love people regardless of how it is that they look. The word people is all-inclusive. It doesn't change. It doesn't change based on the person who's in front of you or what that person posted on Facebook. We should still love them. And I'm tired of seeing people get angry at someone else who disagrees with them. I'm tired of seeing people shout and yell and make a fool out of somebody just because of what it is that they believe. It's not okay. That is not a way that we show love to someone else. Matthew 7:12, it's the golden rule. And if you've been watching any of our videos in the mornings that we're posting, like the little mini sermons, I think it's the one that I did this last week. But it's the golden rule. And it's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It says, here's a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself, what do you want people to do for you? Then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and the prophets, and this is what you get. Do to others what you would have them do for you. And so, real quick, we're going to have some fun. And we're going to look at ways that we can show love to other people. If you're watching online, grab your family, take your earbuds out, grab your family, have some fun with this. This is going to be a whole lot of fun, all right? And if you guys want to mask up and do this with other people in other sections, go for it. Or you can just do it with the people in your section. It'll be fun too. But the first way that we can show love to others is encouraging them, right? So saying nice things, that's what encouragement is all about. Saying nice things to other people is a way that we praise them, and it's a way that we can show love. And so real quick, I want you guys to, everyone stand up to your feet. It's okay. Yep. We're gonna have some fun. Stand up to your feet, turn, and just say something encouraging to somebody who is next to you or near you or maybe they're sitting in their own section. Let's just say something encouraging. So for For some people, this happens a little bit more naturally than for others. Like Richard Barnes over there in the corner, he is one of the most encouraging people that I know. One of the people that I love to spend the most time with, I think, is Richard Barnes, because he's always going to say something encouraging. Brother Jerry, how many times has Brother Jerry come and said something encouraging to you? Yeah. Encouragement is awesome, and it's a way that we show love to each other. All right, let's put a pause on the love fest really quick. Love you too, Richard. So within the last couple of weeks, we've had some new people joining our youth staff, and one of them is Liz Lopez, and she gave an encouragement to me. Well, she sent it to me in a text message just talking about how awesome our worship team is on Wednesday nights, our Velocity worship team. That is awesome to hear. Like, encouragement, nobody is ever going to turn down a compliment. And just encouragement is a way that we can show our love to someone else. It's one of the five love languages, right? Words of affirmation. The second way that we can show love to others is by giving them our time. Quality time is another love language. And you don't accidentally give somebody your time in the same way you don't accidentally give somebody a compliment or encouragement. It's a very intentional thing that we do. All right, here's another fun thing that we can do. All right, everyone stand up. Yep, we're standing up again. All right. So a way that we can show love to others is say, I love you. It's very vulnerable, but it matters. All right, so turn to someone who's next to you. Let them know that you love them. Jax, I think that's just made it on TV. Saying I love you is a very vulnerable thing. Yeah, you guys can have a seat. It's a very vulnerable thing because it kind of puts your feelings out there in a very direct way. But how many of you guys have ever, well, except in a dating relationship when somebody puts it out there way too soon? But how many of you have ever been put off by somebody telling you that they love you? Doesn't that feel good? 99.9% of the time. So another way that we can show love to others is by serving others. This is random acts of kindness. It is a love language. Getting involved in ministry here at the church kills two birds with one stone. One, we serve God. Two, we serve others. And we show our love to God that way, and we show our love to others that way. Our trip to Lonesome Dove Boys Ranch that's coming up, this is an opportunity to serve people in our community. And being a catalyst for spiritual transformation here in Central Arkansas, around the state of Arkansas and the world, whenever you go to places like Siloam Springs and help out with the Ability Tree, or whenever you go to the Lonesome Dove Boys Ranch, which is happening, I think, on October 17th. If you haven't signed up for that, you can do that out in the lobby as well. But it's just ways to serve others, and it's a way that we can show our love to other people. And then the fifth way that we show love to others is with generosity. That's giving. That is helping somebody out in need by giving them something. That is by being generous. Even when we give as a church, that is part of that generosity. We can show love to others by giving to particular missions, to giving to particular projects, to giving to Kingdom Builders, for example, is a way that we can show love to others by paying for someone's meal. That's a way that we can show love to someone else. And that's the giving gifts part, right? That's that love language. John 13:34, it says, so now I'm giving you a commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. He didn't say, love your friends. He didn't say, love those who are sitting in the same room as you while you are at church. He didn't say, love your family, your mom, your dad, your brother or sister, your kids or your cousins. He said, love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world you are my disciples. And real quick, I'm very math oriented, and I love like passages of scripture that like you can kind of create an equation or a formula out of it. This is one of those. And so we're going to graph this really quick. So I feel like there's a direct correlation between our love for God and our love for people. This is the equation. Love God equals loving people, and this is what it looks like in graph form. As my love for God increases, my love for people increases. Let's look at that equation one more time. It says, our love for God equals our love for people. Our love for God equals our love for people. So if that's the case, then it's linear. It's literally as my love for God grows, my love for people grows. If I love God on a scale of 1 to 10, a 3, then I'm probably going to love people on the scale of 1 to 10, a 3. If I love God an 8, then I'm going to love people an 8. It's a linear thing. My love for God equals our love for people. And if it doesn't, then what you need to question is what really is my relationship with God looking like? If you think, man, I'm having a hard time loving people right now, but I really love God. Well, the question is do you actually? Because if you think that you love God a 7, but you only love people a 2, do you really love God? If you say, I love God a 5, like I spend time with them intentionally, but yeah, I'd be really okay to just not talk to anybody, to stay in my own place, to do my own thing, to serve my own needs. That's not loving others. Out of our love for God should birth a love for people. There's a song called Reckless Love, and I think some of you guys have probably heard it. I'm jumping forward quite a bit. Not yet on the video, guys. Sorry. I'm jumping ahead, so I'm messing them up. That's on me. So the lyrics on this says, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And when we look at loving other people, and when we look at loving God, for a lot of us, we've got to figure out what's the why behind it. Why is it important that I love God and love people? Why does it matter? Why should I love God and love others? It's the age-old question that kids continue to ask over and over and over again. Why? But we, in our own faith, are just as much children. And so we ask the question, why? Well, there's a lot of reasons why, but the lyrics to this song, I feel like it explains it very well. It says, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, and it leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. There's nothing that I can do to earn God's love. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. There's no shadow you won't light up. There's no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down or lie you won't tear down coming after me. And when we look at loving other people and when we look at loving God, this is the why behind all of this. 1 John 4, it says, this is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love that we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship. So for you parents in the room, I think you can kind of understand the type of love that God has because you have a similar love for your children. Consider being a parent. Your kid messes up. Do you still love them? Your kid leaves your home. Do you still love them? Your kid runs off to college and they make mistakes. Do you still love them? When your kid runs away from God, is there nothing that you would do to bring them back home? You're going to chase them. You're going to keep searching after them because you love them so much. It doesn't matter how rotten, rude, sinful, disobedient, criminal, or how far away you are from God. That's how he feels about you. His love for you is reckless. He doesn't care what happens to you, to him. He doesn't care what it's going to cost him. He gave it all for you. And that's the God that's deserving of our love, which is most important. But then it's important to communicate that same love to other people. And I'm going to show this video, and it's a guy who, he's not a Christian, and he was listening to this song. He's on YouTube. He does a lot of like reactions to different songs, and he's been doing a bunch of different Christian songs recently, and he's kind of on his own little faith journey, trying to figure stuff out. And this was his reaction to this song. You can play that video now.
Guys, I have a question for all of you. Your music is beautiful. Your stories are beautiful. The teachings are beautiful. And as I said before, my imagination just goes wild with the lyrics, and I picture that, you know, what it feels like to sing something like this, where you're saying, you know, that I like that even when I mess up, even though I'm undeserving of it, you love me in this very special way. But my question is this: why can't we do that? My question is, why can't we love this way? Why can't we dive deep into our hearts and love this way?
Why can't we love this way? If God loves us this much, and our response to that love should be loving him and loving others, why can't we love that way? I don't think God accidentally made the decision to love you. He didn't accidentally send his son to die on a cross for you. He didn't accidentally leave his perfect perch sitting on the throne, come down in human form, serve people, and die a grueling death on the cross. That wasn't an accident. And so if God can't accidentally love you, or if he didn't accidentally love you, why do we think that we can just accidentally love him and love others? I think it's time that we as a church body, that we become more intentional with our love. Let's stop faking it. Let's stop saying, yeah, this is an awesome thing that we should do, and then not do it. I know that life is busy, and I know that all of this stuff takes up time. But Jesus' response to the Pharisees on what's the greatest commandment was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Not just love God when it's convenient. Not just love God when it sounds good or it sounds right. Love God with everything, all the time, with all you've got. And equally important, Love your neighbor as yourself. Love people. It's time for us to wake up. Wake up to the call that God has on us to, as a church, love him with reckless abandon. But then to love others as well. So what do? Well, we begin with intentionally loving God. And then our response for our love for God should be intently deciding that we are going to love people. And do those two things better than anything that you know how to do. Because that's what's most important. And I know that it's not easy. And some of you guys think, well, Addison, I don't know that I've actually made a decision to love God. Okay. Maybe you need to understand the depth of love that he has for you. Or maybe today you're here and you're like, okay, I think I'm understanding this love God, love others, but what happens when people do you so wrong? What happens when somebody does something that's so devastating to you that it hurts you? Well, our love response to that is forgiveness. That was God's love response for us, was forgiveness, wiping that slate clean. Now, I can't make you do that. I can't force you into that. That is a tough inside the heart kind of a thing. But if you can't forgive somebody, the question is do you love them? And then scripturally, if you can't forgive them, then God can't forgive you. And I know that all of this sounds kind of rudimentary, sounds very basic. But I think sometimes we need to be reminded of the thing that's basic and just be brought back to this is what it's all about. It's all about a God who loves us, and his response to us and our stupidity was forgiveness. And he gave it all for us, and our response to that shouldn't be more stupidity, shouldn't be anger and hatred, it should be love. And because of that love, our response should be inviting other people to experience that love by giving it. And so my challenge is, find ways this week to intentionally love God and intentionally love people. Praise and worship, time, obedience, serving, giving. Those are the five love languages. I guess one of them is physical touch, but COVID, you know. Let's love others the way that God has loved us. We shouldn't have people asking the question, why is it impossible for us to love others that way? The question that people should be asking is, how do I get to know that love from God? How do I get to have that love that you have? Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the love that you give to us. It's not a love that we deserve. It's not a love that we earn. It's not anything that we've done to deserve you, to deserve our relationship with you. What we deserve is punishment. What we deserve is death. What we deserve is an eternity in hell, but you give us an opportunity to have eternity with you. And we're so grateful for it. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much despite our flaws and our failures. Help us, Lord, to have that same love for others. That despite their flaws and their failures, that despite how they think or what it is that they believe, that despite how much money they have or what they look like, that we would choose to love others, that we would be intentional in our love for you, but that we would also be intentional in our love for others. Help us to be strong in this way. Help us to be a model. Help us to be a catalyst for spiritual transformation by loving people, because we believe that all people matter to you. Help us to demonstrate that. Help us to demonstrate that everyone matters with our love, with our words, with our actions, with our time, with our intentionality. Help us to do that this week, Lord. And we'll give you all the things. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.